Russian President Yeltsin makes strategic retreat on Chechnya. Hijacked Air France plane may be set to leave Marseille. Christmas tree fire kills Arizona woman and two kids. Good Monday morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Russian President Boris Yeltsin told his National Security Council today that he will address the nation tomorrow on the crisis in the breakaway Republic of Chechnya. It will be the first time in over 2 weeks that he's spoken to the public. Yeltsin appears to be offering to pull troops back from the outskirts of Grozny, the Chechen capital, and says it's time to end Moscow's military campaign there. He has named a three-person negotiating team to talk with the Chechen leaders, who today set up their own so-called government of national rebirth. Newsman Terry Phillips in Moscow says the Kremlin strategy is shifting under public pressure.
Boris Yeltsin has said that the military phase of the Chechen operation is pretty much over. Those heavily armed Russian troops will probably not be engaging in any more military activities. Now, police can go in and, as he put it, restore constitutional order. That suggests that the worst of it is behind him, and that at least from a public position, there isn't the need for any more heavy bombing and presumably no need for any great number of civilian casualties as we've been seeing.
The change in policy comes with no admission of error.
Yeltsin does not say that he has done anything wrong. He does not say that there have been any violations. He doesn't say he's trying to placate anybody. Boris Yeltsin's being president and he's taking charge of a lawless situation.
As BBC newsman Robert Parsons reports from Grozny, what diplomatic contacts there are do not appear promising.
There is some hint of negotiation. I've just been talking to the foreign minister, and he said that there is talk going on at the moment in Moscow, but the bottom line, though, as far as the Chechens is concerned, is independence. They're not prepared to give way on that. So unless the Russians are prepared to accept that, which seems extremely unlikely, the fighting will go on.
CBS newsman Jonathan Sanders reports it was a violent Christmas in Chechnya.
Scattered bombing in downtown Grozny. It's said to be almost a deserted kind of landscape when the bombs fall in the middle of the night. Not a whole lot left to burn. There are continuous reports of a battle still raging on and off just outside the city, about 16 kilometers out in the town of Argun. Yesterday, the Russian official sources were claiming 1,000 rebels died. That may or may not be the case. Reputes are disputed. What is clear is that the Russian army has still not taken Argun.
Jonathan Sanders in Chechnya. Fighting in Bosnia's northwest Bihać pocket threatens to destroy a new truce between Muslim and Serb forces. The Muslim-led Bosnian government has given UN peacekeeping forces until today to stop attacks by Bosnian and Croat Serbs and their Muslim rebel allies. The UN commander, Lieutenant General Sir Michael Rose, is frustrated over his lack of influence over rebel Muslim warlord Fikret Abdic.
We've got to make contact with him. We've got to try and persuade him that it's in the interest of his people as well as the rest of the people of Bosnia-Herzegovina to sign up to this peace agreement.
Bosnian government leaders say there will be no talks and a more comprehensive cessation of hostilities until the problem in Bihać is settled to their satisfaction. One American serviceman spent Christmas as a prisoner of North Korea. As James Satori reports from Seoul, there's no word on when the communist North will grant his freedom.
After an hour-long meeting this morning at the truce village of Panmunjom, a U.S. military official says there is no substantive progress in negotiations to free Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Hall, who's been in captivity since his helicopter went down 9 days ago in North Korea. The continuing delay is something of a letdown after Thursday's repatriation of the remains of co-pilot David Heilman, who died in the downing. The North Koreans indicated then that Hall would be released very soon, though they never agreed to a certain date. Today, they again declined to give a certain date. Army spokesperson Jim Coles.
We were not able to obtain a specific release date for Warrant Officer Hall at this meeting because the North Koreans indicated that their investigation is not yet complete.
Despite the ongoing delay, U.S. officials are at least encouraged by the continuing dialogue. Both sides have agreed to meet again to discuss Hall's release, though no timetable has been set. James Satori, CBS News, Seoul.
That hijacked Air France jetliner has moved at the Marseille airport after the fundamentalist Muslim hijackers released two of some 170 passengers and crew they've now held for 3 days. CBS newsman Bob Albertson in Paris is following this continuing story. Bob, what's the latest?
As you'd indicated, roughly 30 minutes ago, two elderly passengers were released and seen coming down the steps from the plane. And about 20 minutes ago, the plane moved a bit, changed position on the runway, apparently getting closer to the control tower. It's unclear what that movement means because, to the best of everyone's knowledge, the plane has not been refueled since it landed in Marseille about 12-odd hours ago. And I've been told on background, and other French media have reported as well, that French authorities don't want the plane to take off.
These hijackers apparently want a press conference publicity for their point of view.
Correct. The two demands that have been specifically mentioned are they want the plane refueled in order to fly, presumably here to Paris, and they've also talked over the last couple of hours about wanting a press conference.
Bob Albertson in Paris. So far, the hijackers have killed three of their hostages. One released hostage quoted a gunman as saying, "We are here to die. We are not here against you. We are here against the Algerian government." Time on the roundup, 6 minutes past the hour. A young American woman was among the dozen people injured in yesterday's suicide bombing at a bus stop in Jerusalem. Pat Clunan of Pittsburgh station KQV has more on her story.
In Pittsburgh, Israeli cultural emissary Tali Shahar says 20-year-old Sarah Greenberg was on another bus when the terrorists tried to board a bus loaded with soldiers.
They were pretty far away from where it exactly happened, but it was strong enough, so their bus's windows were broken and glasses were falling all over, and one of the glass entered into her back.
Shahar says Greenberg had immediate medical help.
Nothing really serious. She was immediately taken to the hospital, Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. It took a few minutes. They really took care of it.
Greenberg is in Israel for a year as part of a program sponsored in part by the United Jewish Federation. Pat Clunan for CBS News, Pittsburgh.
The Islamic fundamentalist group Hamas has claimed responsibility for that attack. Time on the roundup coming up now on 7 minutes past the hour. The man accused of last week's New York subway firebombing faces a bedside arraignment. WCBS reporter Linda Zoman has more.
Bombing suspect Edward Leary remains in critical condition, handcuffed to his bed in the burn unit of New York Hospital Cornell Medical Center. Over the weekend, police went back with a third search warrant to Leary's home in Scotch Plains, New Jersey, looking for videotapes and computer files. Leary's attorney, Stephen Murphy, complains his client has already been convicted in the press.
Right now, this story has a life of its own. It goes from theory into fact, into gospel.
Murphy says he expects a bedside arraignment early this week. Linda Zoman for CBS News, New York.
A fire blamed on a Christmas tree last night killed a Mesa, Arizona woman and two of her children. The woman's husband and a third child, an infant, were not in the apartment at the time. It's 7 minutes past. A Chicago teenager, blinded in an act of random violence, is getting his life back together. His medicine is his music. Newswoman Regine Schlesinger of CBS radio station WBBM has his story.
Christmas services at the Life Center Church in Chicago featured the usual holiday songs, but also something unusual. A concert by 14-year-old Robert Jones, a member of the congregation. 4 years ago, when he was just 10 years old, Robert was hit by a stray bullet from a gang fight in the CHA's public housing. He survived but lost his eyesight. Now blind, Robert has learned to play the piano, something he says is therapeutic for him.
Yes, I enjoy playing the piano, but yes, I do. I enjoy it.
Do you have a piano at home?
Yes.
And that was donated?
Right.
14-year-old Robert Jones celebrating Christmas by playing the piano at his church. Robert says initially after he lost his eyesight, he was bitter. But then he says he realized he had to get on with his life. Regine Schlesinger for CBS News, Chicago.
Early indications are that Christmas buying was below some retailers' expectations. Alan Milstein, editor of the Fashion Network newsletter, says discounters like Burlington Coat Factory had an especially difficult holiday season.
And the sale of outerwear, cold weather goods, ski parkas, boots, it's a big factor, and in sweaters. It was 10 degrees warmer than it should have been almost across the country. And that affects psychologically the sale of merchandise. Also, I think consumers were very nervous about the cost of credit card interest, and I think they're perhaps looking forward to migraines in February.
A Riverside, California woman is suing her health maintenance organization called HealthNet for refusing to pay her $5,000 maternity bill because she had strayed beyond a 30-mile radius of her designated home clinic during her final month of pregnancy. Saria Israel just happened to be on vacation 80 miles from home when she went into labor. Her lawyer contends the restrictive language is buried in the insurance contract. The nation's jockeys appear set to join baseball and hockey players in a labor dispute and will probably enter the new year without a contract when the current agreement expires Saturday. The Jockey Guild's latest proposal to fund health and accident insurance was rejected last week, with the two sides about $9 million apart. Japan's Fair Trade Watchdog reportedly plans to file a criminal complaint against 9 electronics firms, including Hitachi and Toshiba, accusing them of rigging bids on public projects. That would meet U.S. demands for a crackdown. Overseas, the dollar is down against the yen. It's 10 past.